Carl Nelson Show.
You're rocking with the most awesome
on 1450 and 95.9.
You're rocking with the most awesome
worldwide at WOLDCnews.com.
Neely Fuller Jr., how are you feeling, Neely?
I'm still learning.
Good. We're always trying to learn with you as well. And thank you for joining us today. I just want to continue the conversation we had with these ladies about, and I'm sure you've probably seen it on TV. It's been all over TV, the questioning of the judge, Ketanji Brown Jackson. And some people thought that they were battering her. And we had some black folks who disagree, who think that she's going to turn out like Clarence Thomas. If these thoughts and these ideas, some of them are unfounded, some are planted, of course, and some of them are GOP talking points. Is this part of what you talk about, racism, white supremacy? Is this how they divide us? Is this how the system works?
You should always expect that, because that's the dominant system among the people of the planet based on evidence, and that is the system of white supremacy. That is the dominant government, if you want to talk about world government, so-called United Nations, or this faction or that faction, republicanism, democracies, dictatorships, lots of words that just sail around. They're not attached to definitions. Definitions are everything. That's what Supreme Court justices have to contend with. Well, how do you define something? I mean, everything, you use one word, you might spend 50 days talking about that one word. I mean, if the occasion calls for it. But it's a lot of words that have just been floating around everywhere, all over the place, for much too long, and it's caused what I just heard just a few minutes ago from one of the ladies who was on this program mentioned the term fear and confusion, if I remember correctly. And that's what I have on the back of my book, that this system of white supremacy is set up to cause fear and confusion, and it thrives on confusion. It's the mainstay of the system of white supremacy. And how do you get confusion? Mainly by the way that you talk and the way you define words. And you can just manipulate people with words, manipulate their minds, put all kind of self-doubt in people about what they are doing and why they are doing it. And if you're really skilled at it, you can do it with words. So if you focus on every word that is being said to you, that's number one, get that straight, and ask questions about every word if it takes that to get to what? The truth, because that's what you got to have. Otherwise, you're going to get that confusion that the white supremacist system thrives on. They are word masters. Most of them who are in position, who are assigned, you might say, quote unquote, whatever that means, to cause more confusion in order to get around producing a thing called justice. Because justice and racism should not exist on the same planet at the same time and can't. That's why it needs to be gotten rid of. It's the most powerful government system, the most powerful religion that the world has ever seen, the system of white supremacy in capital letters. And that has a definition, even though it's
folks,
a compensatory one.
I just tell people that you got to listen real keenly, because Neely uses cause and effect and uses logic to prove his points. And I was just thinking about that when I heard those folks coming and attacking the judge. They sound like, if you close your eyes, you think they're from the GOP. They sound like Ted Cruz with their attacks on her. Are they misguided, or do they have a point, or did they just fall for the Republican? And let's leave out the politics. Did they just fall for the line that the GOP was using, hook, line, and sinker? Did they not analyze it for themselves, or is there a way that you can criticize or critique, probably a better word, a black person without falling to the system of racism, white supremacy?
the first thing that you do in what I call counter-racist codification or counter-racist science is you throw out all these other labels, republicanism and all like that, when it comes questions and answers time. I mean, there's nothing on the planet except questions and answers. That's the way you go in. That's the handbook that you carry when you go in. This is all going to be about questions and answers in order to come to the truth about everything and make recommendations for producing a product called justice based on that truth. And that's all anybody needs to do each and every day. That's why I tried to write a book on it in my own crude fashion on the procedures for doing that. And this is done through words. So you don't go in thinking about Republicans, Democrats. You just think about, what are we here for? Well, we're here to say, for example, appoint a judge. What is a judge supposed to do? Raise questions and answers and try to find the truth about something so that a judge can come as close to helping to produce justice as a judge possibly can. So all you do, the procedure is, and answer to the question directly, so it doesn't sound like this is a filibuster, you just sit back and wait on the questions and ask yourself, is this going to help to reveal truth, these questions, by my answers? Or is it going to lead us down the path of what? Confusion, which is what courts are supposed to get rid of. Every court, every trial, everything that comes up in something that even has a similarity to a court. And I always say, in the known universe here in the year 2022, or in every year that I've known since I've been on this planet, everybody is on trial and everybody is in court each and every minute of each and every day.
One of the questions that, and this is the discussion that we had right before he came on too, they asked the judge to define a woman, and they say that she dodged it or didn't answer the question. Well, you know, dodges is what her enemies were saying, and some of our folks picked that up as well, because she probably thought it had nothing to do with her job on the Supreme Court, while others were looking to see if she does she's already nominated, if she's passed to go on the Supreme Court, how would she judge on transgender issues? So your thoughts on that? Because you said it was the question, you always got to look at the question. The question was, what definition of a woman? And, you know, some people thought that was insulting. Your thoughts?
No, a question is never insulting. Every question has an answer. And I picked that up back in the 1950s from looking through an Air Force manual, which is where I was at the time. And it was just a statement in an Air Force manual that dealt with other matters, but there was a statement in there by, if I recall correctly, by the author of the book, Huckleberry Finn. What's his name?
Yeah, it's
Mark Twain.
Go ahead.
Yes, right. There
Mark
we go.
Twain. Yeah.
I should have. It was right on the tip of my tongue. Mark Twain said, I was proud to be able to answer promptly. And I did. I said I didn't know. See, if you don't know the answer to something, you say you don't know. It's real simple. It's not complicated at all. Everything in the universe where problems are solved has to be done. And there's no exception to this.
Let me jump in here and ask you this then, Anneli Forge. Yes. If she had said, if they asked her to define a woman and she says, I don't know, how would that look? You're going to be a judge. You went to Harvard, undergrad, Harvard Law.
You always look at what she actually said. What was her response?
They said
Does anybody remember? Because I saw it, but I don't remember. But her answer was adequate because, in effect, even though she was hesitant and kind of I don't know as far as her mannerisms are concerned, but I wasn't looking at her mannerisms. I was looking at the words she was going to use to answer a question, because that's what's going to be on the books, okay, how the question was answered. And what I picked up from her answer, I think she said, if I recall correctly, because one thing that you don't do in codification is misquote anybody, ever. You get every word down, cross every T and dot every I. I think her answer was, in effect, I don't know. That was it. Put a period behind that. And I think the question behind that was, you don't know what a woman is? And she could say, no. And after, you don't editorialize it after that, because he didn't ask you to. Now, if he asked for a further explanation, I might talk for 6 days. Okay? that's a whole nother discussion. See, that's what I mean by being real keen with words. You have to be, regardless of who you are. Because words is what motivates people and what causes, ultimately, how everything is going to a person's existence on the planet. That's all decided by words. A person comes in and everybody's confused, which is why you have court. You got confusion before you have court, and then you're not supposed to leave court with any confusion about what happened and why and whether somebody is guilty of having done something that they shouldn't have done or they are not. And that calls for all kinds of questions, and it might take thousands of answers or attempt for thousands of answers until you finally get to what? The final question and the final answer, then that's when court is over. But who knows when that is? Now, that's another way which you say, I don't know. Everybody who's going to sit in judgment of anything, see, I don't know how many questions and how many answers it's going to take. One thing that I learned in elementary school and heard over and over again, like you hear things that are kind of set in cement, and also from older people, when I was very young, I was confused about a lot of things like I am now. So they would say, you ask too many questions. Now, then you ask, out of politeness, and this is just something that I thought of, when someone says that, the correct procedure is, can I ask one more question? And if the person says yes, how many questions are too many? And you can do that in court.
Yeah.
If somebody says that. Because, like I said, we're all in court. And we're all on trial. We come into the world in court. And we come into the world all on trial. According to what? Neely Fuller? According to logic. And that's what I try to use every day and try to get everybody else to use logic. And how do you do that? You pay attention to every word that is said to you. And if it's not like I do on these radio programs, and on this radio program I've done it, much to the annoyance of people. It has to be annoying because it's annoying to me. And that is there any way that you can say this, give me this question in another way, so I'll understand what you are asking. Otherwise, I'm running down the road thinking that I know what your question was, and I'm all over the place. Because I'm giving all kind of zigzag answers that are really not answers. Why? Because I didn't understand the question. That's something you don't ever want to do. Before you open your mouth, you first get a clear understanding. Like getting back to your question about what the lady said, and she was asked, what is a woman? And she hesitated for a long time. But so what? I would hesitate for a long time. You're supposed to hesitate for a long time. And they're saying, Are you going to answer the question? I said, absolutely. But I have to take time to think about your question, sir. And I wouldn't be as hostile, you know, if I sound hostile right now. But if I was actually in a court of law, I'd be calm. All you got to do is just keep calm and think. Now, do I know the answer to this question? What is a woman? And it jumps right out at me. No. So I just simply say, I don't know. But if I think about it, I might figure it out.
Yeah. Well,
if he wants to, if he wants to turn it around, but see, he doesn't have to answer my questions. That's why I always tell people on this program, the person asking the questions has the most power. Always. And keep that in mind.
All right. And hold that thought right there, Neely Fullerton. Let me remind the folks to join WOL for a one-hour power talk discussion. What is believed to be the first of its kind sexism, abuse, and harassment suit is filed by black female officers in the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. We'll be speaking with members of the suit along with attorney Pam Keith on Monday, April 4th at 8 p.m. You can log on to WOLDCnews.com, check out our Facebook page or YouTube page or Radio 1 D.C. That's April 4th, Monday, April 4th, 8 o'clock. We're talking about sexism, abuse, and harassment in the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. Let me ask you this, though. No, every response is an answer to a question. And so if you don't say anything, that's the response? If silence is a response?
If you don't have the answer to the question. Every question in the universe has an answer. But some answers, you have to do a whole lot of studying. If somebody asks me about some mathematical equation that it takes to get to Mars right now in this program, I would say, I don't know the answer to that question. He said, well, you went to school. See, they can make a speech. I mean, it goes on and on for hours, what I ought to know. But see, if you turn those same questions around, which he wasn't in position to do, I mean, does he know what a woman is and can define it in terms that would be acceptable to most people? And even if it wasn't acceptable to most people, would at least be clear about what a woman is in his mind. But he had the luxury of being the question asker. So therefore, knowing that, all she had to do is just say, which I think she finally said, I'd have to go back and see that tape, but I think she said in a hesitant way, but she said it in effect, the way I understood it, I don't know. I'd have to study that. She said something about I'm not a botanist or zoologist or whatever. I think a
biologist.
Biologist, that's it. Yeah, that's the correct word. See, like I said, misquoting people, like on this program, should forever be a no-no by everybody. If you have to guess about something that somebody said, say you're guessing. I mean, like I just did with Mark Twain. I was fixing to call him by somebody else. And see, that's how you get what? Confusion.
800-450-7876. Sylvia's on line one, calling from California. Sylvia, you have a question for Neely Fuller?
Oh, yes, I do, Carl. Thank you so much for taking my call. And good afternoon, Dr. Fuller. I love your message. You have a beautiful message. And I love the things that you say about how we should do and how we should be and how we should consider things. And then after you say all these beautiful things, I get another kind of thing, because when I was a young girl, I'm not going to take this time, but when I was a young girl about 11 or 12 years old, which was many, many years ago, because I'm older than you, and I saw the Ku Klux Klansmen, they come on TV, and they considered that they would praise themselves as being white supremacists. And I didn't know what that word meant. I didn't understand it. And I asked my mom, and she tried to explain to me what it was about. And as time has gone, I find that we are such powerful people you're such powerful people. If it would be in your, just if you could just consider just helping me to understand and give me the definition of what white supremacy really is, because I describe it as inferior. And I'm just wondering if you would consider, if you would just, since you say you're still learning, if you would just consider researching using that term, because the reason why I ask is because we are such powerful people when we give them that title, and they're doing it, using it on TV now for themselves. When we give them that title, our power goes with it. We are the most powerfulest people. And if we could call it an inferior system, would you consider, just consider getting into it, letting me know? I won't keep up with you of your time, but I thank you both so much, and I love your message other than that. Thank you. Thank you, Carl. Y'all have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Fuller?
If I understand the question, would I consider not using the term white supremacy or the system of white supremacy? Because I usually put it in capital letters. Been trying to do that for years to give emphasis to it. And I have considered it in answer to the question. And after thorough consideration, I'm always looking for the truth. Not what Neely Fuller wants, but what the truth is, because the truth will do the job. The truth will lead to justice. Nothing else will. And justice is something that I say has got to take the place of every problem on the planet between people. We're not a just people on this planet. Okay. So this word powerful was used. So I look around for the most powerful people on the planet, and they are white people who believe in white supremacy. Now, I'm making a statement that's either true or false. You have people with their babies in their arms, black people by the thousands, crowding on boats, rickety boats that they have given all their life savings for, or made some kind of deal with somebody, or worked out something, trying to do what? Which way did the white people go? I mean, we are so miserable. I mean, we can't have a neighborhood among ourselves without slaughtering each other. Why are they so powerful? We ask these questions and then turn around and say that we are powerful. If we did this and we did that, then why are we in the shape that we're in? Why are we having programs like this?
Because the program
would not exist. This program would not exist except as a reaction to the system of white supremacy.
Okay.
We talk about Black History Month. There wouldn't be no need for Black History if we were already the most powerful people on the planet. We're the weakest people on the planet. That's what the problem is. And it's no joy I find in trying to pretend that I'm strong when I'm not, when it's not logical. When every football player or every boxing coach or every hockey coach will tell the person, you're not prepared. You say, yeah, but I want to play hockey. See, if I put you out there, you're going to get slaughtered, all right? And you just walk in here and say what you want to be. Well, see, all people like to feel proud of something. Oh, yes, that's natural. But first of all, you got to do something to be proud of. And being caught in slavery, that's no fault of ours, and being subject to what I say is the most powerful system of governing people ever appeared in recorded history. Now, it might be some history that hasn't been recorded that's more powerful than what the system of white supremacy has proven to be. I'm talking about proof, like we're having court sessions now, fixing a point. This is woman's history, that they say, a month. And there's a black lady who is now on what a lot of people call the hot seat, who is going to be in a position to make judgments. But if some things can be said that most people on the planet will agree to, tell the truth. Say, yeah, but the truth hurts me. Oh, you better believe it hurt me. That's how I started writing the book. I say, and the first thing you learn when you're going to be a boxer, a football player, or a writer, or a teacher, is that I don't know what I ought to know. Every football player will tell you that. When they make that decision, I want to be in NFL. They are saying, by saying just that. I mean, where's the logic? You ain't in the NFL. That's why you're saying you want to be. So now, that means what? You're going to have to learn how to be. And learning is all about questions and answers. How do you play this position? How do you play that position? That's what they say coaches are for. I'm talking about logic. And I'm giving a long-winded explanation for my answer about sticking with the term white supremacy. Once we started using that term, the white supremacists started trying to climb out of that barrel themselves. Oh, now, don't mistake me. I'm going to say this, but don't mistake me for being a racist now, because racism is white supremacy, and white supremacy is racism. So you got white people running around saying, who used to brag about being racist, and other white people being racist. Now they're all running for cover. Nobody is a white supremacist. I'm a states' rights nationalist. They got all these fancy terms. And right when they were on the tipping point, and a few white people are saying, oh, yes, white supremacy is real. Let's call it that. Now you got black people trying to jump ship. Saying, oh, no, racism ain't real. It's something else. It's something else out there, you know. I mean, it's something else that's doing all this stuff to us. Because we're the most powerful people on earth, so racism don't affect me. Ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't have to worry about no junk like that. First of all, it don't exist. How could I be afraid of something that don't exist? That's what black people are saying. Why? Because it's a feel-good thing, in my opinion. It doesn't work.
All right, 800-450-7876. Hope you got that answer, Sylvia. Let's stay out in California. 800-450-7876. Eskia is joining us. He's online, too. Brother Eskia, you got a question for Neely Fuller, Jr.?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Mr. Nelson?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Hello. Okay. Mr. Fuller, Dr. Fuller, as you were speaking, and I hope this be giving me power to ask you a question. As you were speaking, I was thinking about the whole interview that Carl had with the two young ladies. So it made me come up with this question. And I am one who believe in the system that it exists, the system of white supremacy. So in that case, if there's a system of white supremacy, and we can confine it to a mace, and you are part of it, are we just living for hope here?
The question is,
even if you said, if the system of white supremacy is based on this country or anywhere else, but we are here, and everything that we do, even from Supreme Court to president, is all that just symbolism? Because if the system runs it.
Well, wait a minute. What was that question? See, part of the code of behavior.
The question
is what?
Okay.
We take one question at a time. We never move to the second question till the first question is answered.
Yes, sir. And I do apologize for that.
No. You don't have to apologize. That's the procedure.
Yes, sir.
That's all.
Yes, sir.
Go through the procedure. That's all.
Okay. So the question is, if there's a basis of that I believe in the white supremacy, and we join it or in it, are we just living for hope?
And again, you got to listen very keenly. And a lot of this stuff that Neely's talking about is in his book. Short title of the book is called The Code. Before he goes, we'll make sure that he gives you the full title and you can get a copy of this book, because a lot of questions you're asking are in the book. So, Neely Fuller, do you remember the Brother Skia's question, or do you need him to repeat it?
I'm here.
Yes, I'd like for him to. What is the question?
The question is, if we're in the system of white supremacy and we choose to join that system, or are we forcing that system, what are we doing? Just living for hope?
If we choose to live for hope and know what hope is, but I don't know what we're doing, but I don't. I'll put it this way in answer to the question. I got to be accurate in my answers.
Yes, sir.
I know what we are doing. Now, I don't know what our intentions are, because I'd have to go around and ask each individual black person on the planet, what are your intentions with the time and energy that has been given to you by the Creator? How do you intend to use that time and energy? Because all babies come into the world with two things, time and energy. Otherwise, you're naked. You got nothing. You are absolutely dependent on someone else. So in order for me to answer that question and tell the truth, I would have to interview by asking questions. That's what an interview is. Each and every black person on the planet. When you say we, if we're talking about the people who are what I call the victims of racism. So if I understand the questions, why are we here? If I understand that, but that wasn't the question that was asked. The question that was asked about, are we here to have hope? Well, how do you find hope? We're here for a purpose, so I have to ask that question before I can answer it. What do you mean when you say hope? I have to answer that question the same way I would on a Supreme Court. I would have to answer it that way. Why? Because everything is about questions and answers. So I would have to know what is a question consist of, words. So are we here to have hope, if that's the question? Well, then what is hope? And what is hope good for? Can you use it for anything? There's lots of questions come behind that. But if you ask me why I think we are here, according to what I've written, we are here to solve problems. Just that simple. Slam. Bam. That's it. Two
yes,
words.
So
solve problems.
That brings me to my second question.
Yes, sir.
It gave me my first question. If I live in a neighborhood and it's gang infected, is there any logic for a person to join that gang to think they go change that gang into something else?
Depends on what the gang is formed for.
Well,
we have to always talk like we're in court, because we are. Everybody's
yes,
on trial.
The gang is selling drugs
all over the world.
The gang is selling drugs, corrupting the community, killing, drive-bys, causing all kinds of mayhem in the community, rob, rape, stealing, drug selling. Would a logical person want to join that gang? To change it.
If I understand what you're saying, join a gang so you can sell drugs, so you can have drive-by shootings, so you can rob people and steal from people. The answer is no. That's not why we were produced by the Creator or anybody else, logically speaking.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much for your answers.
All righty. 800-450-7876. Austin's calling from Cleveland on line 3. Austin, you have a question for Neely Fuller?
I I most certainly do, Mr. Nelson. And thank you so much for having Mr. Fuller on today. It's very much appreciated. Mr. Fuller, I have a question for you since you emphasize the usage of words like you always do. And my question to you, Mr. Fuller, is could you explain to the non-white listening audience and particularly to the black listening audience why it is illogical and outright silly for black people to say that we need to get together, quote unquote, when this does not work at all whatsoever under a prison system called white supremacy, and why we need a code instead?
Well, if I understand your question, we got to come together, and I'm looking at this because I've heard people recently on different programs. I just wrote down a few things that people say on the radio programs, and I hear them talking on television. Well, these are black people. And a lot of them are slogans, or what the definitions of slogans or slangs, that have been handed down through the years. But I concluded years ago that a slogan is not a plan. And I've said on this program and on my own program, producejustice.com, it comes on Tuesdays, many a time, a slogan or slang is not a plan. And then I explain what the difference is. Slogans do serve a purpose. We got to come together. Now, that's like a title of a book. A slogan is like a title of a book. A lot of slangs are used as titles of a book. Slang, slogans, whatever you want to call them. But a book is supposed to have substance in it that tells you why that slogan or slang is on the front of the book. And I have noticed down through the years, black people have gotten slogans and slangs mixed up, apparently, according to the evidence. We go by evidence. We get it mixed up with a plan. I've heard people go and listen to a speaker for 3 hours. I've counted the minutes or the hours. In the days, I mean, sometimes, because it's a carryover type seminar, for example. And at these seminars, I have taken a sheet of paper, a blank sheet of paper, just one usually, or two, or a notebook, and a pen, and I've come away with having written down not anything that I could come away with, in my opinion. And we have gotten on airplanes and gone great distances, and everybody's shaking hands and hugging and slogans and slangs all over the place. Well, we finally got together. That's a slang. That's a slogan. We'll get together to do what? Where's the plan? Did anybody come with a plan? That is the question years ago, decades ago, I would always approach it. Checked into a hotel. Fancy lobby and all that, checked into a fancy room, too big for any one person, and then attend a seminar where people talk for hours and choking themselves with food. I come away with a blank sheet of paper. And what I heard was what? What you just mentioned. We got to come together. Well, we came together and came together. And came together. And this is okay. The slang is an introduction. But in order to accomplish what? I'm supposed to leave there with a plan. Nobody mentions anything about anything like that. Except next year, we're going to, wait for this, folks. Now, this is the speaker talking. Next year, we had a good meeting this last 3 days here in New Orleans and or in Philadelphia or wherever we were. But next year, hey, we're all going to be meeting like this again in Miami. And everybody stands up and hoops and hollers and start kicking their shoes off like they're in church. And I'm sitting there wondering, what in the world is going on? We are together. This place is packed. And the plan is to meet again next year in another city, and we're all together. That's what we're going to come with. Well, we were all together. I mean, we had a good turnout. How many times have you heard that? I'm well past sick of hearing it. I'm saying, don't you speak to not one person without a plan. That's what finally I arrived at in my book. If you don't have a constructive plan for speaking to that person, then you don't open your mouth even to say good morning, because good morning is your plan. And your plan should always solve a problem. I've been to many a meeting. I didn't know what problem I solved by being at those meetings. Not one. I couldn't make. I'm there with a pen, three or four pens, and a pad, trying to write down one problem that was solved in a three-day conference. Nobody even mentioned it. We're all together. This is an answer to the caller's questions. The code says, from now on, say what problem he's trying to solve. Because if we come to that meeting and we don't leave there with a plan that proves it's going to solve the problem, I ain't coming. How about that? Nobody's going to even mention a plan before we get there, but they're going to give me a slogan, we'll all come together. Yeah. We were together on a slave ship, just like we are now, together in this big prison system called the system of white supremacy. And that's the truth.
Austin, you got a follow-up?
Oh, no, that'll be all. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuller, and thank you, Mr. Nelson. Thank you both.
All right. Thank you, Austin. 800-450-7876, Grants Online 1 in D.C. Grants, you have a question for Neely Fuller?
Yeah, my question is, and thanks for taking my call. My question is, when you talk about the history, my understanding, isn't it correct that this white supremacy, this domination, started just 500 years ago when white folks went to China and developed gunpowder into guns? But up until that point, they really had no power. They tried to implement their power, but it was hand-to-hand combat if they, you know, during the Crusades when they tried to impose their will on North Africa and they weren't unsuccessful. So this reign of terror with white supremacy is only 500 years old. Is that not right? And it was done through, the use of guns?
Right. Hold that thought. Both guys, hold that thought right there, because we've got to take a short break. We're cruising to the top of the hour, so some of our stations need to identify themselves down the line per the FCC. Stations like FM 95.9 and AM 1450, WOL, where information is power. Our guest is Neely Fuller Jr. It's still time for you to call up a couple of your friends, tell them that Neely Fuller Jr. is on the radio. And again, you've got to listen very, very keenly, because Neely Fuller uses logic, cause and effect, to prove his points. Those of you who have taken logic, and those of you who are going to college, you know, pick up some logic. Take one of those logic courses. You'll be able to reason a lot better, because he uses cause and effect to prove his points. Again, his book, the short title of the book is called The Code. That's not the real title. It's much longer than that. So before he goes, I'm going to make sure that he gives you the complete title of the book and how to pick up a copy, too, because you'll understand where he's coming from and you'll understand it totally what he's talking about when he talks about racism and white supremacy. Before we left, we're speaking with Grant in D.C. Grant, can you repeat your question for Neely Fuller Jr.?
Well, the question was, and we talked about the oppression and who's, you know, superior. And from my understanding, for thousands of years, black folks thrived in functional civilizations that were productive and you know, and intelligent, mathematical. And within the last 500 years, when white folks went to China and developed, took gunpowder and turned it into guns, that's when the reign of terror began in terms of their oppression of the people of color on the planet, with their, you know, I guess, the brutality that they exacted using gunpowder for guns. And so I'm just saying, you know, we act like sometimes they try to perpetuate that this was always the way it was, but it's only 500 years. Am I not correct?
I don't know. There's those three words again. I don't know. Some people say it's been spent about 600 years altogether. Some people say, no, it's 2,000 years. There are other people down through the years who have said 6,000 just for openness. He said it's much longer than that, but a lot of people round it off at 6,000, at least 6,000.
Of white supremacy?
Of white supremacy on planet Earth. No other planet, right here where we are now. Some people have said 6,000 years this has been going on.
So the Egyptians...
Way back before people even knew how to write, for the most part, I guess.
But the world was a larger place in that, you know, I mean, when I was growing up, I grew up in the district, and there were, you know, there were times when I could go a whole week, maybe see one white teacher, but I didn't see any white folks in those days. And if you lived in a country where there were no whites, then you, how could there be white supremacy if you weren't seeing or around whites?
Let's hold it right there. That's a question. Because the white supremacists decided that you weren't going to see them. That's what supremacy means. You didn't make that decision. I know enough about white supremacy to know. Black people don't make decisions about where they're going to be in the system of white supremacy. Just walk down the road and say, this is where I'm going to be. Or walk down the street and say, see those buildings over there? That's where I'm going to be. You're going to get permission to do that. Permission from whom? Whom we have always had to get permission from, because we were born in the system of white supremacy. We have never been born in any other system, and that includes every black person who's on this planet today in 2022, the month of March, was born in prison. And that prison might be in the countryside, or it might be, like I said on a program the other day, in Chicago, and you don't recognize it as a prison. But your apartment or your house is a prison if you're around black people, because the white supremacists decided that it would be. That's why we have a lot of bars on our windows. I didn't see bars on windows until the 1950s. Because I was in the country, and we left the screen door unlocked. For one thing, why? Because there wasn't nothing to steal, no way. I came up in the 1930s. You break into the house, there's nothing there that you don't already have. All up and down the shanties and whatnot, even though I wasn't quite in a shanty. My grandmother's house was made out of brick, which is kind of unusual then. And her house was an exception. But even then, we left the screen door unlocked all the time, sometimes going to town. But why could we do that? Because if somebody stole something, you knew everybody around there who was black. Because white people didn't come in there and steal. They didn't have to. They already got everything, logically speaking. What they need to steal from a black person for? Black person doesn't have nothing to steal because they didn't give him nothing. I went along about way like I do with most questions in answering, and maybe I didn't fulfill that. But you are where you are because the white supremacists made that decision. I have an address right now. Now I can say I made the decision to move in to the place that I moved into. but somebody else had to approve of it, and that somebody was white. And that includes everybody who is in what you call the continent of so-called Africa. It's under the domination, directly or indirectly, of the system of white supremacy. And anybody who will investigate and tell the truth, they will find that that's true, every inch of it.
And Neely Fuller Jr., can you talk about the mental prison that we're in as well? Because many of us don't understand that. And that's why.
Well, if you're
so
born like a fish, born in water, The fish doesn't know anything about the water. Because why? The fish has never known anything but water. It's only when the fish is out of the water, if it's the type of fish that leaps up in the air every now and then, like some species of fish do, porpoises do, for example, then they become aware, hey, there's a different world out here other than just in the water. But the fish says, I am made to be in water. So I fall back into the water. I can't get too far away from the water. Yeah, a lot of them, like whales, they can float on top of the water and all like that. But they're aware, hey, I cannot get out of this water. If I get into a situation where I'm not in water, my body, my whole system is not made for anything but to be in water and a whole lot of it. I can't be in somebody's swimming pool and I'm a whale. Doesn't work. I'm not going to be swimming long. So it's the same with people. People of color are born in the system of white supremacy. It's not our fault. We became their children. Why? Because we were children and they didn't allow us to grow up, which is why we think like children and act like children and do childish things all the time. And not only that, have been carefully trained to act like children. And if you give us anything that calls for what you might call, now this is about being real grown up, we feel like that's punishment because we've been trained that way. No, I want to remain a child. Well, so do I. Why? Because children don't have to do nothing but yell out for help, which is what we do best.
And you were saying that because we're confined to this, I guess, this mental prison, that's why we fight each other?
The entire planet is a prison for black people, and our prison uniform is our skin color. The white supremacists understand that. All they got to do is look out the window. There's a black person running down the street. Get your shotgun. Hey, get two of them and crank up that pickup truck. Why? Because I just looked out the window and I saw a person with color in his skin, looks like a black male, and I decided I got to check him out at shotgun point if necessary, and I will check him out. I don't have to check with nobody. I'll check, and I'll catch up with him, give him a few questions. He acts like he is a white man. Well, good luck with that, fella. You're going to get a wake-up call that's going to last about 3 minutes that you should have learned at your mother's knee. I'm a white man with a pickup truck and a shotgun, and you out here telling me what your rights are? Are you crazy? Well, you're not going to be nothing in about 2 seconds, and then they prove it. And the only people who can overrule them when they do that is somebody else who's white. That's what white supremacy means.
Is there a way one can escape? Or are we? And I guess Brother Skeel is kind of asking this question. Are we locked in this forever?
Yes. What I've been saying for 50 years are over. Better than 50. We need a code. White supremacy, every white supremacist, by the time they're 15 years old, they know instinctively what the white code is. That's why they're really good at what they do.
All right, hold that thought right there because we're going to take a break. I want you to dig deeper for us and talk about the code, which is part of the title for your book as well, because I understand what folks, I mean, what you're saying, we need to stay on code because they stay on code when they deal with us. So the other folks already have a code. So Neely Fuller Jr., I'll let you explain why we need a code, how do we get a code, and what we do with the code.
Those are questions?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we need a code because the white supremacist system works on a code. Now, what is a code? A code is what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say. That's all a code is. Under every circumstance, in every area of activity, you're going to say something or do something or a combination of both. That's all a code is. An electrical code, a plumbing code, that's doing something. If you do this and you do that and you connect this with this, you'll get hot water. And if you do this and this and this and connect this with that and that with this, and they'll pick up different things and put them together, and you have what they call a cold water faucet. And every time you do it, it works. That's when you know it's a code. Every time you do it, it works. I mean, you know, sometimes a plumber been doing it so many years, they didn't even test it. They walked away without testing it. And you say, I didn't see you test it. Are you sure it works? I said, hey, I've been in this business for 50 years. I do this every day, all day. I don't have to test it. If it doesn't work, I'll give you your money back. And not only that, go out there and build you a new porch. How about that? I'd add a porch to your house in the deal. If it fails one time within the next 6 years, that's my guarantee. I don't have to test it. I do my work up to code. I don't know about these other plumbers, but I know what the code calls for. It's guaranteed to work. I've done it enough times. The white supremacists operate just that way. They make mistakes. Like when you start setting up the system of white supremacy, they were sloppy, like anybody who's trying to do something for the first time. But once they got it off and running, they do it in their sleep. They say, I don't have to test my system. I test it every now and then just for kicks. But I know I got these black people wrapped up. They don't even know what's happening. They even say that I don't exist. I'm a white supremacist. I tell them everything what to do. Told their mothers what to do and their fathers before them and their grandfathers. They don't even want to admit that. So as long as they won't walk around here in dream world wondering why everything is the way that it is and I'm causing it all right there in front of their faces, they're looking right at it, but they want to say, nobody tells me what to do. I'm a free black man. I don't have a boss. I run my own business. And the white supremacists look at each other and say, we got these people forever. They are saying, we don't even exist. Not only not in charge of them and every move they make, but we don't even exist. And they say, we don't exist because they don't even think about us. They're just thinking about hanging with their friends or when the next dinner date is. But we don't exist. And we are telling them what they better do and what they better not do each and every day of their lives, every breath that they take. They don't take that breath without our permission. Our who? The white supremacists. That's why we need a code that says, first of all, we do have a problem called a race problem. And the race problem are the white supremacists. And call it that, folks. Now, it's taken me all these years just to get a few people to do that. When you call it that, you're not giving them any kind of ammunition. They already have it. Guns, ammunition, you name it, they got it. We beg for it. Beg who? ourselves, we ain't got nothing. We want a job. We're preparing to get a job with them. There's a lady sitting up there now. Looks a lot like my mother, when my mother was much taller. But my own mother, when I looked at her, I say she resembles a whole lot of black mothers, okay? And she's here trying to do what? Get a job with some white people so she can have a little bit of say-so about something. And we're looking right at it and can't see it. That white man was coming at her like he was getting ready to get a rope out from under the desk. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had. Because, you know, she had most of her act together. And I'm saying we are sitting here in 2022, and some of us are saying, white people don't have nothing to do with me. And they are running every move that you make. Name a move. They even have you out there jogging or buying a dog. Why? Well, that's what I saw them doing. We are so out of it, it is absolutely pitiful, and I say so in my book. But it doesn't have to be this way. And that's what programs like this is for, the Carl Nelson Show, in these 2 hours, is to say how we should. I do make suggestions about how we should think, because everything starts with how you think. And if you think you don't have a problem, you don't have a problem. I can tell the dentist that I don't have a mouthful of rotten teeth, but I'm the one that's leaving there hurting. And I say, I ain't going to tell that dentist my mouth is full of rotten teeth. That's embarrassing. No, I'm going to tell that dentist I got a mouth full of rotten teeth and they're killing me. Now, can you help me? Now, that's the truth. See, and once we start telling the truth, first of all, to ourselves and stop lying to ourselves, talking about how great we are in a prison system, ain't no such thing as a great prisoner. Is there another question? Or did answer that one?
You surely did. So you say we need a code. How do we remain on code? How do we keep the rest of our folks on code?
Like a plumber does, find out what works and sticking with it. And stop doing stuff that we know ain't going to work. Jumping out of a car, surrounded by 4 cars, white men jumping out on all sides. One of them in a flak suit, what they call, pointing a high-powered rifle right at my head with a telescopic sight, broad daylight. 8 others surrounding me, got my car blocked off, and now I'm going to start, what they say on the street, selling wolf tickets. Woof, woof, woof. Y'all ain't got no right to do this. I mean, y'all drop them guns and I'll do a job on you. I'm the king of the hood. I'm like, yeah, right. You are. You tell the truth when you say you're king of the hood. When there ain't no white people around. You ain't king of nothing. Because you're living with your grandmother to start with. That's why she's got to take her little pennies, come down there after you get through whooping, and plead for you like black females have always had to do after we show our so-called manhood. We ain't got none. We're all boys. I'm a boy, Neely Fuller Jr., person talking to you, but I got sense enough to know it. It ain't got nothing to do with how old you are in a prison cell. You're just an old prisoner, that's all. And that's all you are, as long as the system of white supremacy exists. And so you have a code that will not only get you out of prison, but dissolve the prison. That's what I tried to write. I'm not trying to make a contribution to solving the race problem. I'm writing a book and having a program right now that I say should solve the race problem. Get rid of it once and for all. so we don't have programs like this ever again, because there won't be any need to. Black radio is about what? White supremacy. Otherwise, it wouldn't be black radio. We've got evidence everywhere staring us right in the face and want to call it something else. Oh, white supremacy makes me feel bad. It makes me feel bad. That's why I started writing a book. You're supposed to feel bad about a bad situation. The creator of the universe taught us that. Babies know that after a few days. The baby's lying there on his back. And the baby wants water because they wanted something before they were born. Even then, they were born in water, like that fish. So that baby wants water. I know. I've seen babies. They drink water. They stop drinking it later on when they want to drink sodas, because the white supremacists say buy sodas. And that injures our health. It injures mine. I didn't know no better. I was drinking sodas till I started drinking water. Stopped drinking sodas. That's another story. But it's all a part of the same stories. You do what you're used to. So babies come here. They are used to being in water. So they want water. That's all they know. And then they discover breast milk from the female, which the white supremacists are going around now trying to cut every black female's breast off. Black females are not supposed to have breasts. And they're telling hordes of other black females, you ain't supposed to have no vagina. The white supremacists want black males, every black male on the planet they can recruit, they're going all out to substitute the black vagina, the female vagina. That's part of being a female. They want every black male now to go chasing after the white male anus, saying, that's much better. That's an improvement over you silly people. You need to improve yourselves. So I'm telling you how to do it sexually by substituting the black vagina, which you all used to, been around forever. What about the white male anus? And you will seal up the black vaginas. Because without a phallus, what does the black female need with a vagina? So they tell the black female, well, you don't need a vagina. Just seal it up or do whatever you want to with it. But just put it out of you, saying out of business, all right? And cut your breast off every chance we get. What feeds babies all over the world, even when there are no white people around, and you get your milk from me. That way I can always control you. It'll come in a bottle or something, and then I poison it when I want to, okay? But if you've got them right there on your chest, you have breasts, and say, well, we'll put some breasts on the black male, well, even if we have to tack some on there. And that thing he's got between his legs, we'll saw that off and punch a hole where it used to be and tell him that's his vagina. And millions of black people, so I've heard, are saying, yeah, that's a great idea. That's what Harriet Tubman was fighting for. We're just as crazy as we can be. We already got males and females. We don't need any substitutes. That's right in our faces. But the white supremacist said, you advertise anything enough, and that Negro will break down or kill his mother getting to it. Because we have trained them that way. Go with whatever the latest fad is. And that's part of the latest fad. Taking the black female, confusing her, and then confuse the black male in all areas of activity, not just in sex. Because, see, they know that they're on the threshold of a few black people, hopefully I'm one of them, wind up to figuring out what they are doing. And rather than try to explain it away, saying it ain't happening, say it is happening, and they're the cause of it, and we're coming up with a formula to put them out of business as white supremacists and replace their system with a system of justice, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Now, that's the direction we should be going in answer to a lot of the questions that people have called in on this program this afternoon. they have said, what do we do? We need a code that will solve problems. Remember those two words. In order to produce what? Here another two words. Constructive results. See, because we have been trained to solve problems. Black people can solve problems. White supremacists know that. But we make five or six problems in the process. See, so we got to keep that formula in mind. Solve problems without making any. That takes some thinking. Oh, yeah, I can solve problem number A and problem number B and C and Q. But I made 12 other problems in solving those four problems. And that's a no-no. Solve problems without making any. That calls for some thinking and some planning. And the race problem can be solved. Why? Logically speaking, not because Neil LaPool says so. It can be solved because people made the race problem. And anything that people put together, it's been proven over and over again. People can take apart. That's whether it's a building going up, no matter how tall it is. If people put it together, there are some people who can sit and watch and figure out how to take it down and take it down a whole lot faster than it went up. I mean a whole lot faster. The system of white supremacy is the same way. You figure out how it's put together. That's what I'm trying to be. One of the geniuses. Because nobody's really trying. Why? Not seriously. Because most black people, like we hear it on this program, and I hear on every program that I'm on, a lot of black people want to say, oh, racism in the form of white supremacy don't exist. You just got different people who are racist, but it ain't no big deal. It don't make no difference. It don't matter. So if you think it don't matter, if you think that being in jail and not wanting to get out don't matter, you'll just be in jail. And you say, I got a TV and they feed me and, you know, I'm okay with all this. What are you talking about, jail? I'm doing better here than I did in that little shack I had back down by the track, you know? I mean, I got soap and water, running water. So a lot of people find that a comfort zone. We got to make that a discomfort zone. Man, I ain't supposed to be in here. Not one time. Black people should think about that when they're out there making those speeches on the highway when they get pulled over by eight armed people and you jump out with nothing but a beer bottle in your hand. And in 10 minutes, going to be dead from something stupid that we do and keep doing it. Why? Well, that's what we do in the hood. You ain't in the hood. The hood is in you. So the only time that hood stuff operates is when you're in the hood. That's why the guys who are supposed to be so big and bad in the hood, they ain't big and bad when they ain't in there. You see how polite they get all of a sudden when they're on the white side of anything? They look around and see nothing but white faces. See, that ain't nothing but a show to other black people. We're a great showman. Next to the white supremacists, the greatest in the world. But black males, every one of us is a helpless boy. Everyone on the planet, right this minute, in the year 2022, in March, every black male on this planet, not according to Neely Fuller, is a boy. A boy is a subject to men, and the only men on the planet are white in the system of white supremacy, and that's the truth.
All right, hold that thought right there. I got some folks who want to talk to you, and we got to get you got to let folks know how to get the copy of your book. 800-450-7876. Michael's online, too, calling from Columbus. Michael, you have a question for Neely Fuller?
Yes, I have two questions. Thanks for taking my call, and it's an honor talking to Mr. Fuller. My first question, Mr. Fuller, is when we look back in time and we look at Tulsa, Oklahoma, now either it was our pride. pride and self-determination that we had our own. They told us, go on, do what you can to survive. And we developed a place called Black Wall Street and several other places and communities like that. And they came and destroyed them. So we must have had some type of code when we left. Can you answer my question on this first one, just here to make us think, the listeners, why did they destroy that? Why?
Because it was easier to do, and they was just teaching black people a lesson that anything that you do has to have my approval. You wouldn't have a Black Wall Street in the first place, black people. If I decided you weren't going to have one, you only left wherever you were before you came to Tulsa, because it's Indian territory. And I called it that, and I decimated these people who were here and got them all drunk and full of diabetes, even to this day. And now I let you come here and set something up because I was tired of looking at your black face in my new city. I want to see as few of you as possible. And when I tell you to get out of my sight, I want you down there on Black Wall Street. But now, if you show a little sign of being arrogant, or that you can come on my side of town, what I have designated, you didn't decide this would be my side of town, you black people, what the white side of town is going to be, because you don't decide nothing where I'm concerned. I decided you could have a Wall Street, and that you could have your own stores, because in this particular place, unlike in the South, I don't even want to see you. I don't even want you driving through where I am. I'm putting you over there by those tracks, which is where I put most of you back in those days. And I will let you have a bank, because in Chicago, I decided you ain't going to have no banks. The Jones boys, people who read some Chicago history, I think it's the Jones boys, they started opening banks. They were in the numbers business. So they knew about banking and that type of thing. They knew numbers. Black people were walking banks, a lot of them. They knew numbers, like the character in the movie Malcolm X. They knew numbers. Might not know something about history or something like that, but they knew numbers because they were in the numbers business, which is a business even today. But the white supremacists decided that it would be a legitimate business.
Can you give us the title of your book and how we can get copies?
You can get the copies by going to producejustice.com. Like you're producing something, that's what we should be trying to do. That's the thing that would defeat white supremacy. Fix our minds on producing a product called justice. Now, you can't have justice and white supremacy on the same planet at the same time. So that means something has got to go. That something being the system of white supremacy as the government of the world, which is what we have now. If you have color in your skin, you come under that system. There's no other system on this planet superior to the system of white supremacy. So the book can be gotten by going to Produce Justice. It's no point in getting rid of white supremacy if we're not going to replace it under the law of compensation with something better. And something better would be justice, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most in every circumstance that produces a constructive result. That's it. And everybody should be guaranteed that on the planet. Everybody who's out here fighting these different wars and whatnot, they should have justice in mind. If they don't have justice in mind, they ain't got no business fighting or doing anything to tear up anything, okay? And you oppose that. The system of white supremacy is a non-just system. It's not designed to produce justice. It's mostly designed to have people worshiping white people and enjoying it and producing things while destroying millions of people. That's, otherwise, we could keep what we got, because the system of white supremacy does accomplish the production of things better than any other system that anybody's thought of. But what's wrong with it? It destroys people in the process, so that people become nothing but trash, like black people are treated like trash. That's why black ladies have to hold up the torch and say, Black Lives Matter. You know, I don't know how they should matter, but they should matter. I mean, you just treat us like trash in all of our relationships that you call it, to white people. If it's not a trashy relationship, they expect for black people to have trashy relationships among each other. Nothing constructive. And they love to see us like this. Okay? So I have written a book. Go to producejustice.com. That's designed to make each and every black person a Black Wall Street. How about that? That you are not sealed off on the other side of the tracks in some section of some city, and they say, oh, that's a black thing. Everything, the way it should be, is a black thing. And a white thing, and a yellow thing, and a green thing, if you've got green people somewhere in outer space. I mean, they got to believe in justice, too, because that's what black people should be about. I don't have any confined place that somebody designated as my place. We already been there, done that. That's real chicken house thinking, like herding chickens. And no, we're not chickens. Our place is wherever we are, just like the white supremacists say that and mean it and prove it. Wherever I am, boy, is my place, including your mama's bedroom. How about that?
Neely, I got a tweet question for you. Twitter says, what do you think the world would be like if black people start sacrificing our lives to stop white racism?
It's not a sacrifice. And we stay alive and have a code. The white supremacist is not going to kill us all. We can gamble that. Now, that's Neely Fuller talking now, because I may not be using logic. But I'm saying it's not logical for the white supremacists to kill us all. They want to continue to do what they have been doing. If they got 100 black people, well, hey, you know, let's see now. Kill 70 of them, but leave the rest. Just like you do with your chickens. Anything that you own, you don't want to stop the chickens from coming. So leave just enough of them, educate them, so they'll have a little bit of sense. Let them keep having a few babies, but only the number that we want in a certain place at a certain time. And just kill off the rest, or better still, so that you don't have to do all the heavy lifting and put up with their talking about us killing them. Set it up so that they kill each other. That black lady out there now that's got five boys, we already know what's going to happen to them because we already planned it. All right? She's going to have two left. That'll be enough to do the work that we want done. But three of them boys, we're going to kill them. Why? Because that's what we do. It's routine. Or we'll get them to kill each other. And that's routine because we know how to do that too. Glorify gangsterism. You know, put it on TV, have them looking at video games 24/7. Then dump a lot of guns out there in front of their house. They'll come out there, I mean, with their eyes bugged, pick them up, and, you know, load them up, talk about how pretty the bullets are. They're shiny. They like shiny stuff, bling bling. Bullets are part of the bling bling. And have them running them down the alleys and running through their grandmother's house, killing each other. We planned that. We knew they were going to do that before they were born. Why? Because we make plans for them. Why? Because they ain't got no plans of their own. The code is supposed to break that cycle so that we come in with a plan. We don't go the meetings without a plan. That's a part of the code. So a lot of black people have told me, oh, things are going to kind of get real serious and a little bit too serious. And then I have a question. Is there anything incorrect about a black person being serious about serious things? And I'll wait for my answer. Because the white supremacists have taught us to be serious about everything that's silly. We are champions of silliness. We know how to do everything that's silly. Grade school silly. But when it comes to being serious, oh, that hurts my mind. I'm black. I ain't supposed to be serious about nothing except messing up something. If you want me to mess up something, I'll be serious about that. You want me to build something or take the patience to put something together or take something apart that needs to be taken apart? I ain't got time for that. Let white folks figure that out. And then after they figure it out, I'll come and beg for it, whatever they made. We've been trained to do that, folks. We need a code that does just the opposite. You can't get a black person to involve themselves in nothing. They're stupid. That's the kind of code we need.
We run out of time, but I want to get you to talk about the 9 years of activity. Can you name the 9 years of activity that we should be concerned about?
Well, I just say that all areas of activity are interactive with all other areas. But I'll give them, according to the code, to kind of give some structure. See, we don't have a structure that we made. All right? That's why I say we need a plan. And I tried to write a plan in the form of the book that people can get by going to producejustice.com. It's a plan. You can go to any meeting with this plan. You'll be the only one there with a plan, most likely. Everybody else got a whole lot of pretty rhetoric, and everybody wants their name mentioned and marching across the stage receiving awards. That's not a plan for solving black people's problems. We need to stop that, okay, and have every meeting, everybody at that meeting came with a plan. And then we choose one of the plans or a combination of all of them. Okay. But the 9 areas of activity, economics, time and energy. You're born being a person who is involved in economics. So don't ever say to anybody, I'm not involved in economics. You are a creature of economics. You've got time and you've got energy. Unless you're dead. And even dead people are taking up somebody's time, so they are using their energy being dead, that's now dead energy. You know, somebody's got to bury you and all of this. Otherwise, they got a problem. You just can't lay there in that back room forever, or they'll have problems all over the house, okay? So you're giving off energy even when you're dead. See, that's how you have to think. See, I'm talking about thinking now, something that the white supremacists never want a black person to do, okay? So economics, education. What is education? Learning everything that you need to know. And what do you need to know? Everything that you don't know that you need to know. So how many educated black people do we have? None. How many educated white people do we have? None. According to who? Neely Fuller? According to logic, folks. You are not educated until you can solve all your problems, period. You come out of any school and you can't solve a problem, you need to go back to another school or something. You wasn't paying attention in the one where you were, or they wasn't teaching you, but something is out of error. Anytime you say you're educated, everybody's supposed to drop what they're doing and say, hey, we got a problem solving in the house. So anything that you want done in the form of a problem, ask Alice or ask Sydney or ask Kamani. Why? Because he said that he's educated. Or she said she's educated. I have an education. Oh, you're a problem solver. Oh, looking for all of my life.
Right.
All right.
Neely, we just flat out of time. So for those who want to hear more about the 9 years of activity, is it producejustice.com where you can pick up a copy of the book?
You can get it by producejustice.com. And on that, you'll see how to order the book. And there's a word guide in there, like what's going on with the hearings now that we've been talking about on this program in an hour before then. We were talking about the black lady now who's going up for a judgeship. That's all about words, how you use words.
Right.
That person who asked her, you know, what is a woman? How do you know a woman or word something to affect when you see a woman? What's different about a woman that makes her a woman?
Right. And with that, we got to go. It's talking about words. Thank you, Neely Fuller. Folks, we got to step outside. Stay strong. Stay positive. Please stay healthy. We'll see you tomorrow, 4 o'clock, right here on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power.